Hi, I'm Iris Muller. I'm a certified rehabilitation counselor and a proud mom of two children, one of whom has quadriplegic cerebral palsy and is nonverbal.
And I'm Alma Schneider, a licensed clinical social worker and the proud mom of four children, one of whom has Prader-Willi syndrome.
In this podcast, we discuss the uncensored truth about raising kids with disabilities.
Prepare to laugh, cry, and hopefully learn something new. This is Two Moms, No Fluff. Hello, Iris.
Hello to our listeners. Here we are again. We are Two Moms, No Fluff, and we're going to talk again about all that is important to us as mothers of kids with disabilities. And we invite you to join us and listen in and also share your thoughts and the experiences with us, because this is what we thrive upon. We really want to know that, you know, that there is value to what we are sharing with you. And we also want to make sure that you feel that you are heard in this podcast. So if you want us to talk about a topic that we have not covered yet, please let us know in your comments. And now, Alma, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, a topic that is near and dear to my heart and to yours too, I believe, and it is finding your people. So people in the disability community who you feel are kindred spirits, who make our lives more joyful, less stressful, and that we just want to be around. So we have some personal stories we're going to share with you to talk about our journey with finding our people. And we're going to give you some tips on how you can find your people too, even if you're not us. And I am sorry to tell you, but you're not us. You are you. You are you, not us. So you have to find your way, but we're going to help you. And we don't want you to be overwhelmed. So we're going to give you those strategies so you can have a safe and beautiful journey to find your people. Do you want to start, Iris, or shall I?
I can start. I just want to say that probably because our daughter was diagnosed kind of later on, it took us like almost until she was two to kind of wrap our mind around what's going on and where do we actually belong. And when she was about 2 years old, then we started kind of looking for activities that would be appropriate for kids with disabilities, because we didn't quite fit in into any other group. So one of the things that we did, we were in Alberta, Canada back then, and we registered our daughter to two classes that were for kids with disabilities. One of them was a ballet for little dancers, and the other one was adapted swimming for kids with physical disabilities. And it sounded like the perfect place for us to kind of find our people. But when we arrived, there was something kind of unexpected, and that was that our kid was the most disabled of all the other kids. And that was so traumatic and painful when you are like, you see all the other kids and they can kind of walk with their walkers and they have their braces and they have a little bit of difficulty with balance and all of those things. And we are just there with our daughter who can't even sit independently, let alone use her hands or legs. And we were like, what the heck was I thinking? Like a ballet class for her, she can't do it. Mind you, everyone else that she's continued to dance, she even danced with the New York City Ballet later on. So the ballerina dreams were not shut off on that day. But for me, it was like, oh my gosh, even here with all of those parents of people or children with disabilities, they really don't know anything about us and about our challenges. Their challenges seemed like a cruel joke almost in our situation. So I'm sharing that because sometimes you'll have to kind of go beyond maybe disability groups and disability activities to find your people. And I'll let Alma kind of share her experience, as she is the wizard of creating disability communities. Like not just attending them. She's actually making them happen everywhere she goes. Aww. There you go, Alma.
Thank you. Well, I just want to commend you for even joining a group for dancers with a child who couldn't even sit up, because that shows that you were really thinking out of the box. And I think that that's a great message for everyone to hear, that you didn't have that limitation in your head, whereas a lot of other people might have said, oh, I can't even bring my daughter to that. It was a possibility for you. And I think that that's a really important message for everyone, that we need to try everything. And yes, it can be painful, it can be traumatic. And one of the things that you also reminded me of is that, you know, in a future episode, we will be talking about how challenging it can be when we do bring our child who we have accepted, you know, our child has a disability and you've come to terms with it and you're moving forward, but then you enter into a disability event and your child is the one with the most in need of support. So that can be tough, and we will get over it, but it's, you know, it's another challenge to have to get over emotionally when we see that we are a little, you know, in a different situation than other people. So one of the stories I want to talk about is a friend of mine, Abby, when my son was first diagnosed, had gotten me involved with a group for Prader-Willi syndrome. And at that time, there was no Facebook really. And we joined a listserv. It was a Yahoo group. And although the people were very, very nice and very kind, especially to the newly diagnosed parents, there was a lot of talk, and I don't want to have any judgment here, any negative judgment about this, but there were a lot of people who were talking at that time about how their children were God's gift to them, that they were feeling very much in love with their baby, and that this was God's gift to them. That did not resonate with me at that time. I did not feel like these were my people. I felt I was still in a stage of, this is the worst thing in the world that has ever happened to me. I'm incredibly depressed. I don't want this life. Nobody was talking about the fact that this was really hard, or that this was painful, I didn't feel the realness. And that's one of the reasons I really, you know, was so happy to start this podcast with Iris, with you, Iris, because I think that it's so important for people to, in this situation, to be able to talk about the really hard stuff, which is that, you know, I did not want this. This is not a gift. This is, and you know, we might see that later, that this is a gift. And there are many gifts that come with disability, but in the very early stages, this was not perceived by me in any way as a gift. So I got very turned off to that Yahoo group, and I didn't go back unless it was just to help other people who were newly diagnosed, you know, years later. That being said, I did start finding my people by going out of my way to support groups in town. I went to one a couple of times, and there were parents of children with other types of disabilities. So I, you know, really hope that we're giving you the message that finding your people does not have to mean finding someone who has a child with the exact same disability as you or the same circumstances. It could really be someone who's not in the disability community for sure, just someone who really truly gets you. But within the disability community, there are so many people who have the same types of feelings that you do and the same need to talk about the challenges that they face that have a completely different kind of disability. I have a lot of friends who have children with autism, who have children with a variety of syndromes, and it really doesn't matter. We're still feeling the same feelings of having to advocate so much, and we need each other's support, and feeling like our children's behavior is, you know, can be really tough in society. Again, a lot of what we're talking about is not about our individual child and their behaviors or their circumstances, their medical needs. It's really about how society, how an ableist society is not there for us, and we need to be the group that hangs together to work on these issues. So as Iris said, when my son was in about five years old, I started a support group. And the support group came from people who were in my son's special needs pre-K. So before that, I had found my people in this pre-K, but then I panicked because after the pre-K, they were all going to be dispersed because we have a town that has a magnet school system where the kids can go to all one of 5 or 6 different schools. So I got really nervous that the people that I had become friends with and who were my people, that things were going to fall apart because of proximity, that we weren't going to, if we didn't live close to each other or we didn't go to the same schools, we were going to lose touch and I was going to lose my support system. So I talked to a friend of mine named Leslie and I said, let's make sure that we meet for coffee every week. Every Friday, we're going to meet for coffee, just the two of us, and we're going to not lose touch this way. Then I thought, well, let's invite the other moms from the pre-K, even if they're going to other schools. So long story short, that group is now 11 years old. We have been meeting every single Friday, unless the school district is closed. And we even met through Zoom during COVID. And we're back in business. We meet every Friday. We meet at my house. We have we're close to 300 families in the group. So this is both an online resource group in addition to an in-person group that meets every Friday. Now, mind you, we do not have 300 people showing up at my house every Friday, but it's a drop-in group. So we could have anywhere from 3 people to 15 people. Because I love to cook, I am happy to provide coffee and I cook different things each week, which I love because it gives me a chance to experiment with something that I love to do with cooking and try new recipes. And it's a great place for people to feel heard, to feel safe. We oftentimes don't even talk about disability. It's just a place where the moms and dads can feel safe, can feel like they don't have to explain themselves, and to just feel like they're with people who get it. So this group, so this is all to say that you can, if you don't have these people yourself in your midst, you can create a space, and it doesn't have to be in your house. I like having it at my house because I don't have to, number one, I don't have to go anywhere. And number two, it forces me to clean my downstairs and my kitchen all up so that, you know, it doesn't build up and get really messy over time. So I've created this for myself because I needed it. And it is so helpful to so many people. We share resources, we share stories, or we just talk about the latest episode of Sex and the City.
Okay. I have to take this opportunity to just stop everything and just repeat what Alma just said. This lady here, from nothing, created an enormous support group, which I think every parent of a kid with a disability in the county in New Jersey belongs to. And she, Alma here, is talking about it very modestly, but for freaking 11 years, she opens her home every Friday. She not only cleans before everybody comes, but she cooks a full breakfast for everyone that walks in the door. She has the coffee mugs ready. She is like really opening her heart, her house. She's hosting everybody in the most generous way. She provided so much help and support to countless people. And you are, Alma, my true community hero. And these are the things, you're one of those unsung heroes, because what you have done, not only, you know, helped maybe support you, you have created these ripples of effect and supported so many others. And I have to also say some things that Alma made in her group that I enjoyed individually that were terrific. Like, for example, just so you guys know how there's no end to the giving here with Alma, one Mother's Day, she basically walked around the community and asked, a dozen businesses if they can contribute and donate food or services to our group. And she organized a hairdresser, a makeup artist, a photographer, a massage therapist, an energy healer. I can't even remember what else was there. And basically tons of other businesses that she asked to contribute and donate food. And that was the best Mother's Day of my life. I went to Alma's house. I got pampered, massaged. I even had a headshot taken, which is on my website, people. So I, not website, Facebook page. Yes.
Thank you, Dan Derrico, for that. Photographer extraordinaire. Yes. Yeah, so it was my joy to do that. And we didn't only do it once, Iris, you only came once. We've done it a few times for Mother's Day. And unfortunately we didn't do it during COVID, but yes, we wanted to pamper the moms. And it's not just like moms of kids with disabilities need pampering. There are lots of moms who can't afford to be pampered, have their own difficulties going through life. And we did open that up to the community. We don't want it to seem like moms of kids with disabilities have the hardest lives, because we don't. There are lots of other types of situations that are just as hard, if not harder, than having a child with a disability. It doesn't necessarily mean your life is really hard when you have a kid with a disability. So I just want to clarify that we did open it up to others, and it really was a joyful, it really is joyful for me to do that. So it can provide you, as the organizer of events like this, a lot of happiness to provide that for the community and for people to receive it. So it's, you know, it's all a win-win. I'm not modest. This isn't all altruism. I get so much from this group. It is, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're doing this podcast, because I see the impact of the Friday group, and we wanted to bring it to a larger audience. We want you all who are listening and watching to be a part of this community, because we see what it provides for moms. We see what it provides for us. And we're hoping that what we've been able to gain from our community, you will be able to gain, because we all need each other. We all need to know that we're not alone, that this can be, not always, but it can be a very isolating journey. And we need to know that there are people who get it. And although we may have wonderful friends, people who support us for everything we need, it's really the families of the kids with disabilities who truly get what we're saying. We may be supported by other people, but they probably don't really get to the core what it's like. And it's really important to have those people in our midst.
Yes, and I after this small and still not, I guess, worthy salute to Alma and her community efforts, I want to go back to like finding your people and how significant it is. Because at the end of the day, I think that the best resource, if you ask me, more than any physician or I guess, expert in the field, were the parents. The parents that I met along the way, they taught me all that I needed to know, basically. And it's kind of important, not just a resource to kind of acquire knowledge, but a resource to rely on for emotional support with everything that you go through and all the struggles that might come along this way. And I think that one way to find your people is actually by going to receive services with your child, because these are the places that by definition you'll find other people that need early intervention or physical therapy or ABA if your child has autism, whatever it is. Those are the places that you should kind of look at them as, speed dating opportunities. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. I can tell you for what?
No fluff.
No
you
fluff.
You can connect very quickly with someone with no BS. You get right to the point. No fluff.
Yes. If for anyone who knows me, I've been with my husband since we were 13. So I have zero experience in actual dating, but I can tell you that having to date and meet other parents of kids with special needs became kind of an art form, like how to approach them, how to kind of quickly tell them, maybe come out of the closet first myself, so they know why I'm asking them the questions. And I think this is important because people are like, why are you kind of in my business? So first introducing yourself and then kind of quickly asking a few questions to lead to the knowledge that you need and hopefully get a context exchange. And I have to say that not only that those waiting room meetings were very beneficial in finding my people, but sometimes the therapists themselves were like, oh my gosh, we have this other client who's a, I don't know, daughter or son is such and such. You guys would get along so well. And I would like, oh, great. Here is my contact information. Please, please give my contact information to the other mom. And this is how I met people at the very beginning when I was totally lost. And it was kind of interesting how fast those people kind of replaced my social group, because my friends from before didn't quite know how to understand anything that we were going through. And these other people knew exactly what I'm talking about. And they could like really supply help, advice, and also kind of reflection because they've been there too.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's just such a fast, it can be so fast because it feels so exciting to find someone who gets it. And that's one of the beautiful things about our community. There's no fluff. There's no fluff. You get right to the point. You reminded me of when my son was in the NICU when he was first born, and we were going through the struggles, and they finally, you know, after a week, they figured out that he did have Prader-Willi syndrome. They said we were primed to think it was Prader-Willi syndrome because there was a baby here 6 months ago in this NICU, even though it's a rare syndrome, a baby 6 months ago had been born with the same syndrome. And I said, please introduce me to that family. And it, you know, this is one of these experiences that is so frustrating, but they said, oh, I'm sorry, we can't because it's confidential. And also this family, they were distraught. And I said, well, of course they were distraught. You only saw them right when they were diagnosed. And this was 6 months ago, they might be better off. And can you please just contact them and give them my information? And they said, no. They wouldn't do it. And I was so frustrated and I couldn't find out who these people were. So it turns out that then they never called her. They never called the mom or the dad to put us together, which I just thought was crazy. Fast forward a few months and I had a lactation consultant help me with Lincoln because he couldn't suck. And that was one of the features of Prader-Willi syndrome. And I was trying, somebody had mentioned, oh, that there's a possibility that a lactation consultant could help with that. So the lactation consultant had experience dealing with children who had Prader-Willi syndrome. And some of them had been able to learn how to suck. The lactation consultant apparently had worked with this family from that NICU.
Wow.
Contacted them and said, I have another family who is in this situation. She is the one who got me in touch with this other woman. And we are still friends 17 years later. Again, she was born 6 months earlier. She's actually born on Valentine's Day. And her dad happens to be a famous jazz musician who created the very first Disability Pride Parade in New York City. His name is Mike Ladon, and his wife is Margaret Patterson Ladon. And they have a beautiful daughter who also has Prader-Willi syndrome. And we are still friends. So it's really important that hopefully you will have a better experience than I did in trying to get your hospital or your doctor's office to connect you with other parents. But it's really important to make the ask. They cannot give you the information, but they can give the other person the information and say, this person wants to reach out to you. Is it okay? And I also had that experience with someone in early intervention. One of the therapists, and these are two situations that were so helpful to me in finding people who got it and who were just helpful to me with practical medical help. The other person, I had an early intervention therapist who happened to casually mention that there was another person in my town who had Prader-Willi syndrome. And I said, oh my God. And this was months after she had been seeing our family. And I said, oh my God, can you please connect us? And she did. She reached out to the other woman and the mom, and I went right over to that person's house. And I, the person was 9 years older than my son, but the mom and I connected so much more than anybody I had met who had an infant. And we just, our personalities gelled. And she was the very first person, the mom, who was willing to admit how painful this whole experience was and how she spoke the real deal. And it was such a relief for me to meet this woman, because we were, you know, talking about dating, like she would have been my date. Like she would have been somebody that I would have dated. And we did, you know, we had the pair, we had a connection like no one else. So those are two great stories. And I'm going to give you one more before I turn the mic over to Iris. But I asked another early intervention case manager, please find me someone else in my town who has a kid with a feeding tube, because my son had a feeding tube for the first year and a half of his life. She went to another person who was right in my town who had a baby with a feeding tube. I went right over to that woman, was extremely happy to meet with someone else also who had a feeding tube. Long story short, I went over to her house. We are extremely close friends now, all these years later. Our kids are friends. And I had to do the pushing to get all of these people, not necessarily the pushing, because some of them, you know, readily gave me what I needed by connecting us, but I had to be proactive in finding these people. And these were three individuals who changed the course of my journey by having support. We could vent, we could talk about the joys of this, and we could most importantly have our kids be friends. So very, very important to be proactive.
Yeah, I have to say that our family, we moved so many times, you know, since our daughter was born, that I had to repeat that same drill of meeting my people in different states and sometimes different countries. And it's kind of a process, but I am notorious for hitting on people in wheelchairs in supermarkets. And like, I would run after them. And I was like, are you using an F550? I don't know, whatever, I'll ask and see if which company it's made of, and start asking questions then about the community and why we're here, etc., etc. But this is my strategy to kind of learn about services, learn about what's going on kind of in disability community in a new place, and also start kind of enlarging our social circle in a new place. I'm just like, I'm hunting for people that might belong to my group. And this is another thing I wanted to share, is that because I was kind of in that field before my daughter was born, one thing that I knew to do, which I highly recommend to anyone, even if you're the world's best introvert, just go to a conference that relates to your child's disability. Yes. Mm-hmm. Go to an expo, go to a trade show, something that has to do with equipment that you need, something that has to do with the lifestyle that you'll have to, I guess, adopt, whatever it is. If you can Google and find things online that might be related to you, even sometimes if you have to buy flight tickets and put like a serious financial effort to this, it is so worth it. I think that for us, one of the things that we did in the early years was going a lot to the Abilities Expo, and we'll talk about that trade show later on. But basically, that was a fabulous place to meet, you know, the disability community and hang out with people, with other people that were so, I guess, in need of durable medical equipment. And by kind of going to the different booths and talking to vendors and talking to other families with other children that had to talk to that same vendor because of the same problem, we met so many people like that. And then we kind of like we fine tuned our technique. Like if we would go to lunch during the expo, we won't just sit in a random table. No, we would scan the room to look for a table with another family with a kid who is in a wheelchair and more or less our daughter's age, and we'll go and sit next to them because we were trying to find our people. And this is something that I think, you know, it's kind of a technique that you need to learn to do. But it is so meaningful and helpful later on. The best things, again, in our lives, without getting into examples, are the same. It's just, it came from people with other kids with disabilities that really got it and knew what help we needed and how to give it to us. And this was great. And it's just, this is like an example. It's like it takes a village to raise a child, but you need to find your village because otherwise it's going to be very painful sometimes. And I think we spoke a little bit about the differences in experience in raising a child without a disability and a child with a disability. And it can after a while become very, very lonely. So I encourage.
Really important. Everything will be easier if you don't feel isolated and lonely. Everything will fall into place if you have your community. And we, you know, I hear us both talking a lot about being proactive and reaching out to people. That's hard for a lot, you know, you and I are, I think, naturally like that, Iris, but a lot of people aren't. And that is something that it will take a little bit more work, but it is doable. And something that we didn't mention that is huge, especially for people who live in remote areas where there might not be as many kids with disabilities. Number one, you'd be surprised that there are people with disabilities in your community that you just never knew about, but there are that you will find out about from your doctor's offices or from early intervention. But to go online, you know, Facebook has a group for every type of disability. And you can, even though our Prader-Willi Syndrome Forum group on Facebook has, you know, thousands of people, there are also chapters in different states. And I have found people who live close by that we can visit or that we can do activities together, or, you know, we've socialized with people, we've done walks, you know, for fundraisers with other people. That's how we've met other people who have the same disability. And not only do you get the social connection with those people that can, you know, fight isolation, but the amount of practical information that I've received from these other families has been huge. And we're talking about camps that are free because these other people are in the know about camps, things that I had no idea existed. There were sleepaway camps that were free. There were camps that that were not free, but were subsidized by the government, that are sleepaway with people who are trained to deal with very specific situations that our kids experience. That's priceless. I mean, that is priceless to get those kind of resources from the people who truly know. So that's been a huge benefit from finding these people. So it's really worth it to, you know, if you're an introvert or if you feel, you know, uncomfortable, to figure out a way to find your people, because it will help you financially, it will help you socially and emotionally, and, you know, practically. So can't speak enough about finding your community. It is the number one thing to do once you have a diagnosis.
And I think that, you know, maybe it's worth saying it. I wasn't like that, maybe 11 years ago. I wouldn't run to people and start talking to them about the equipment or their disability community. It's a skill that I had to slowly develop. And it's one of those things that if you would approach me 13 years ago and show me kind of a scene in which I'm running and attacking a person in a wheelchair, bombarding them with questions, I was like, that's not me. It cannot be. But it is. It is me now, because I learned so much in this process that I had to grow and change. And I grew and changed. And I'm really grateful. I'm a better person now than I was before, both socially and also with in the sense that this is not, there's always reciprocity. because if I am now new to Midland, Michigan, and I'm slowly kind of meeting the people here, they know about the local therapist, but I can tell them also about a world of other services that is available in New York City that they weren't exposed to before, because it's just different point of views. We all have our experiences, our knowledge, and something to give and share. It's never kind of like you're kind of clinging on someone else's neck to kind of help you through. You always have something to share, whether it's a physician that you met that was good or bad, a service that you received somewhere, good or bad, etc. Every little experience that you accumulate along the way is knowledge that is very valuable to another family in a similar situation.
That's why we are here, to share the love and the information. And I need to share a little love with you, Iris, right now.
Iris, for
those of you who don't know, is a major activist. And she does a lot of her activism kind of behind the scenes for huge issues. So we, I think, talked about before, but I'll just touch on it now again about the playground, that there is a playground that she went nuts trying to make sure that there was universally accessible equipment. And by doing so, you did meet some other families who had children in wheelchairs. So activism, and you know, this was huge. This truly was a monumental, you know, act of activism that Iris did. She wrote letters. She made phone calls incessantly to make sure that this happened. It didn't happen at first, but it did happen in the end. And she was able to meet other people who had children with wheelchairs in her neighborhood, who maybe they didn't become close because Iris moved away, but those parents saw what Iris did. And so even if you don't have a social relationship, they were able to witness what Iris did. And that, you know, I am certain that those people who witnessed what you did, because it was also public in the newspaper, it wasn't just, you know, in person, her showing up with her daughter who used a wheelchair, this was in articles in the local papers, and people seeing that, they now know, wow, this is possible, that activism can really, there's a benefit to activism. Things happened because of that activism. And I'm sure that you inspired people to get involved in their local community because you created change. So that's another form of community. Even if you don't even ever talk to those people, they're watching it, and you are an agent of change.
Thank you, Alma, for this. But if we're already talking about the playground again, I really want to bring to this like a list, Leslie Scammell, because without her like help with writing the letters and creating the petition, I don't think I would move that much forward. And she was instrumental for all of this. And I'm still like in such a kind of a moral debt to her for making this thing and happen.
And
for
that.
Yeah, that's a true ally to the disability community. And
I have a child with cerebral palsy who uses a wheelchair, but she's an ally.
Yes.
And allies, we need you. We need you. Anybody listening who has a friend or a family member, please continue your beautiful role as an ally, because we cannot do this alone. We need everyone to be a part of combating ableism and making our society accessible to everyone in every way.
Yes, and activism, Alma, is really the name of the game. It's not only creating like a better future for our children and for other children like our children that would come along the way later on. It's just also an opportunity to really find other people who deeply care about the topics and issues that you care about. And even something small, like, writing a petition made us kind of be aware of those people in our community that cared enough to sign the petition, that cared enough to like contribute money to make the change in a playground feasible. Those are the people that are a part of this group, that this is in a core value to them. And it's really, really important. I really highly recommend again, to try and kind of go online. And Alma, you're my witness. I had until like a couple of weeks ago, no online social life. I didn't have a Facebook page or an Instagram or any of that. So my interactions were mostly face to face. Nevertheless, I was able to Google and find information online. And I highly recommend you do that about again, events in the community, about activism opportunities that are relevant to your family and your child, and to look for information about services and I guess activities that would be relevant. And these are the places that you can really meet other people and beyond chatting on online groups. At the end of the day, this podcast, the reason that we are here is to help people kind of maybe open a window to stop the isolation in a way, and to really share with our listeners all the difficulties that we as mothers went through. And we really try to be here, not as professionals and tell you kind of our professional opinion about the situation, but to really share the hard stuff that we've been going through. In the most, I guess,
go through, so that you don't have to go through, you know, we can save you some of that effort and stress and help you get to that joyful place much quicker.
Yes, yes.
Where you can enjoy your family.
Yeah. And in that, I think, optimistic note, I think we can conclude our session for today. But please do share how you met your people. And if you did not meet your people yet, maybe you can share with us where you are and who are the people you're looking for. And maybe Alma and I can help make the connections between some of our friends near and far. And we don't want anyone to be in a loneliness bubble. So if you feel that you're still in that loneliness bubble, please touch base with us and we'll see how we can, what we can do to help and support you.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
For more information, please go to www.twomomsnofluff.com. Thank you.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give it a 5-star rating so more people can hear it. Thank you.